Hey, if you're looking for something to do this weekend or anytime these summer months, you can go to thegamenashville.com and get two adult tickets for the price of one to Beachman Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park while supplies last. Now, I don't know if you saw this, Willie, as we await Richard Deitch from The Athletic. Nashville SC, they lost to Louisville in the U.S. Open Cup. What was that, round five?
I think that was the fifth round, yes.
Fifth round? They were all the way into the round of 16.
That's
and they
pretty
lost.
Good.
They've already put, that's what, the third
good
time they've played Louisville this year? They lost to them, this kickoff,
right.
their first ever game. Then they just beat them here, and then they fell 2-1 at Louisville last night. So they are, the 11-game unbeaten streak ends, and they are now out of the U.S. Open Cup. But, hey, round five of that.
Pretty good showing.
Round of 16.
Pretty good showing for a first-time team.
Not bad. Now, their next game, they'll be back in action. The one we've been talking about will be Tuesday, First Tennessee Park. That's Tuesday, June 26th, First Tennessee Park against Indy 11. Of course, they also have that big game at Nissan Stadium on July 7th against FC Cincinnati. We say hello to Richard Deitch from The Athletic. Richard, how you doing?
What's going on?
Want to get your take on, we were just talking about the end of the last hour, just the sad news in these parts. Legendary Vols voice John Ward passing, 88 years of age. I mean, anybody from these parts grew up listening to John Ward on the radio. And we were just kind of talking about the significance of the radio back then before games were even televised or we had all these channels where we take all that for granted today. But back then, you know, those play-by-play guys were the eyes and the ears for fans. If they were not at the game, I mean, that's how they got their favorite team's call and what was going on. And when you hear that, for you, what was maybe a voice or two that stood out to you? Like, who did you grow up listening to?
Well, first of all, I understand how important John Ward was to fans of Tennessee Athletics. So that's a big loss. I mean, that's a guy who wasn't just a regional icon, but I think was respected throughout the country, even if you never heard him, just certainly based on his longevity and the kind of impact he had on the community. Prominent voices for me, that's a good question. I'm trying to think if there were people in New York who really, I've got to be honest with you, we saw some horrible announcers in New York. Mike Breen did the Knicks, and that's somebody who I really always appreciate. But it's not like I sort of have this romanticism for Mike Breen. You know, I was fortunate to listen to, when I was a little kid, like Jack Buck calling like Monday Night Football on the radio. And so that was a guy who I always thought just was like these incredibly gravelly pipes and really stood out. But I there's a lot of broadcasters, you know, the Harwells of the world, obviously Vin Scully, broadcasters I admire. But I think I'm probably in the minority here. There's not like some voice of my childhood, which was the sort of the broadcaster who, you know, really sort of shaped my thinking and all that. And I think, and this is just a guess, I think sort of from being in the New York area, it would be a little harder to have like one voice of God because there were so many professional teams that, you know, whether it was Marv Albert doing the Knicks or whether it was Phil Rizzuto doing the Yankees or back in the day, Bob Murphy, Ralph Kiner doing the Mets. I mean, they were all obviously in their own world, iconic and people really liked them, but because there were so many of them, I'm not sure I could just, and I think this is more just about me, there's not one person I would just put to the top of the list.
Hmm. Are you in Toronto or are you back in the Big Apple?
I'm in Toronto today.
Hmm. Today. Today. Man, you probably know this trip well by now, right? Back and forth?
I do. The good news is, even though Canadians aren't particularly pleased with our government at the moment, they are letting me in and they're being very nice to me, so I appreciate it.
How would you compare the two? Because I always heard that Toronto was kind of like the New York City of Canada. How would you compare the two markets?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, the one thing about Canada or the Toronto market is that you can have a team like the Blue Jays that's really a national team. So that, the kind of ratings they get when they are really, really good are just crazy. You know, you get like one-fifth, one-sixth of the country watching a Blue Jays game of significance because they are truly Canada's team. You know, then obviously each of the markets that are the big cities, but, you know, Toronto fans are very much into the Maple Leafs and the Raptors, and Edmonton fans obviously are into the Oilers. Winnipeg fans are, as you guys know, just crazy about the Jets. The in the sort of the business of sports media, the biggest difference is far less competition. There are really two big employers here, Bell, which owns TSN, and Rogers, which owns Sportsnet, where I work. And that's pretty much it in terms of sort of the big major broadcast players. So very, very big difference in the Canadian market is it's just it's much smaller, and most of the people know each other. So it probably is while it is competitive, it's probably not as fiercely competitive as it exists in America. The other thing, too, is at least we have here in Canada far less of the blogosphere in terms of really like, high-octane or clickbaity type of posts. There's not as much of that, but that's not surprising, too. Keep in mind that 320 million people in America, 36 million people in Canada. It's also not as polarized here. There's a little bit. It's they're certainly tough on their teams, but from what I've found, the culture of sports debate and talk is far different here in terms of it's not as hot takey. It's not as I've got to win or beat my opponent into the ground. It's far more conversational, I think a little more intellectual. And so that's probably that is one of the reasons I came up here to work is, and I think I told you guys this, you know, on our show, we can go 16, 17, 18 minutes for an interview. You know, you guys, you know, maybe you can go that long if you play around with the commercials, but what, I don't know, you would tell me what your normal spots are, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 7 minutes. So that's a big difference, at least in terms of sports talk, is you could really go long without having to go to break. And I think it's good for the audience. It leads to less about like, screaming talking points and more of a conversation.
Richard Deitch is with us from The Athletic. So, Richard, after a week of competition since we last talked to you, it was just getting underway, I think, the last time we had a chance to speak. What are your thoughts so far on the coverage from Russia on the World Cup?
Mixed bag. I think Fox's coverage in terms of their choices of the game broadcast have been very good. I really like John Strong and Stuart Holden. I think they've been an excellent lead team. I think Fox has, the cameras for the tournament are not Fox's. They're the host broadcasting service. So everybody gets the same images. Everybody gets the same replays. Where the host broadcaster makes the decision is when to come into the game, meaning what you show beforehand, the lineups, the national anthem, et cetera, and then when to leave the game after the handshakes and all that. So, but I think Fox's game coverage has been fine. I haven't noticed the biggest difference from those who are calling the games in a studio in Los Angeles, although I am sure that Fox made that decision because of cost cutting, and I think you are always in a better position to call games live. You can see the stadium. There are just things that the broadcasters can get in terms of their research that they can't get in Russia, so Fox can spin that a little bit that, you know, the rest of the world does this, but it's not really the point. Whether the rest of the world does something or not is not my concern as an American viewer. You know, I would rather have my broadcasters there. Studio show is where Fox is always going to get their biggest criticism or their biggest praise, and a lot of it obviously depends on what you feel about the studio analysts. I think Kelly Smith and Ian Wright have been terrific. I've really enjoyed what they've had to say. They educate me as a soccer fan. I think the late night show, which is hosted by Fernando Fiore, is an absolute mess. it's kind of embarrassing if you compare what Fox has been doing on that show to what the Bob Lee, Julie Foudy, Mike Tirico show was 4 years ago. I think the show is just, they're trying to go for this whole late night, like, let's have a party vibe. It's the last thing soccer fans want. Soccer fans want seriousness. They want intellectualism. They want to talk about tactics. They want you to prepare them for the next day. Some of the guests on that show do that. But as a general rule, that show's just been a big miss. There's no way around that. And then lastly, in terms of viewership, I think Fox has gotten better numbers than they expected. Germany-Mexico was a boon certainly for Telemundo, but also for Fox as well. Fox did pretty good on Argentina-Iceland. and did great on Spain-Portugal. So the numbers are going to be down from no U.S. team in there. There's nothing Fox can do about that. But the numbers for the tournament haven't been as catastrophic, I think, as some thought. So it hasn't been bad for Fox so far. They got a long way to go, but there are some things that they can point to that they got to be happy with.
We sort of polled our audience on Friday of your level of interest, and we were trying to define some of the different levels. You've got Darren, who really is not that interested. I get very interested, but I'm the first to say I really don't know hardly any of the players outside of the top players in the world. Then you've got our producer, Julian, who knows quite a few more of the players. So I guess my question to you is, as Fox presents this, are they assuming – what are they assuming the audience knows? Are they catering towards soccer fans who know a lot about at least the top players? Or are they trying to bring in people like me who are watching once every 4 years, basically?
Good question. Fox is kind of odd on this because they always try to sort of, I feel like, bring the casual fan in. And a lot of times when they do that, it's kind of nonsense. But then when they're serious about stuff, they can be really good. And Fox's production is great. They're innovative, and they take chances when it comes to sports production. That's something I really appreciate about Fox. I will say this. I think, and again, I know there are more fans than not that dislike Fox's soccer coverage. I get it. And they're not as good as ESPN or NBC. It's just a fact. Fox people want to yell at me, they can, but that's just a truism. But I think Fox has tried in the last 8 years to really upgrade its soccer coverage where they're trying to appeal more to the harder core soccer fan. I don't think they're there yet when compared to, let's say, NBC's coverage of the Premier League, but they've improved. I mean, we're not so far away when Fox would bring in, like, Piers Morgan as a pundit, or Fox would have, like, Michael Strahan, like, doing a stupid, like, Here's football. You know, like they've at least thankfully gotten away from the really dumb stuff. So I think they're heading in the right direction on that. I would say they're trying to find a place in the middle between the casual person who may want to check out the World Cup and the hardcore person who's watching every game.
All right, last one for you. You're in Toronto, so I'm wondering if you watched any of the coverage of the awards show last night for the NHL in Vegas.
A little bit. Yeah, I did.
One thing that they have got to do better on, if they're going to do it, and I understand they want to be outside the box, and I think there's a good thing about effort, but they've tried some of these skits over the years to, you know, try to liven things up, lighten things up, make people laugh. They have missed so badly on some of these things, these skits that just are not funny. It's painful sometimes. They got to fix this,
right? You mean
right?
Like the cover for EA Sports, NHL 19, PK1, the skit? Basically,
well,
bringing him up.
There was one with the Saturday Night Live guys trying to carry the cup. It was just epic fail.
Failed.
It's sad. These are funny people.
Listen.
Like, this is the Saturday Night Live guy. He's good. He's funny, but he was miscast.
I was going to say, like, there's a graveyard that you can bury with horrible, like, sports award shows and really bad
<That's> right.
So, like, you're right. Like, so often it sucks. It's really just unwatchable. Sometimes they get it right if they have a great host, like, at the ESPYs. I actually think the ESPYs are far more interesting, just using that as an example, when they actually use, like, an athlete to host. It's at least a little more
right.
interesting. But, you know, all these shows, they hire out, basically, a entertainment company to produce it and to book it. And it's not sports people, right, who are booking this stuff. It's entertainment people. And I'm with you. A lot of times, like, you get something booked that you think, like, maybe that works for, like, a Las Vegas, like, nightclub crowd or something like that, but it's just – it's horrible for a sports award show. So I'm with you. Yeah, I never – when I'm watching that stuff, like, the entertainment part, I usually actually sometimes will even put the volume down because it's just so bad. I really just want to know, you know, like, who won the Norris, who won the Selke, and if they give any kind of interesting speeches. But
right.
A lot of that other stuff is just – I'm with you. It's just – it's awful.
It was
and,
bad. Now,
yeah,
they did – I'll tell you what saved the show.
It's not for sports fans. It's for – you know, it's for entertainment fans.
One thing, though, that was very, very well done was the Humboldt Broncos
yeah.
things. That was very moving and well done.
When ESPN, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm not allowed to curse on your airwaves, but the ESPYs are a star bleeping exercise. And you know what word I'm putting after star. Shout out to the letter F. And so, I don't want to get you guys sued. But that's what it is. That is the entire exercise of the ESPYs. What saves it, thankfully, is like the Arthur Ashe Award and the Jimmy V Perseverance Award, and when they do stuff like honor like the survivors of the Humboldt crash, which is obviously what the NHL Awards guys did yesterday. Those are the moments in these shows which make it tolerable. So I think that at least most of these shows understand that they have to do stuff like that, because really it is honestly the only thing that like that sort of saves it. I mean, I remember, I've told the story before, but it never gets old, watching the ESPYs one year when Michelle Beadle and Colin Cowherd, this was during Sports Nation fame, were sort of at their sort of height, and they interviewed Justin Bieber for 5 minutes, and Bieber leaves after just a total nonsense celebrity interview, and Cowherd turns to the camera and goes something like, man, that guy is just so real. That's one of the realest interviews I've ever seen. I mean, like, it's that kind of stuff that, like, literally, like Elvis in Vegas, you just want to shoot the TVs up. you can't deal with it. So,
I think I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Give me more of the Humboldt stuff and less of the, you know, a magician comes down and you know, does card tricks, basically, like we saw yesterday.
Always a pleasure. Richard, thanks for doing this.
All right, see ya.
Richard Deitch, you can find his work at The Athletic. The final opening in the NHL may be closing. Have the Islanders found their man? We'll tell you on the other side. Darren and Donick, 102.5 The Game.